Amen. So last night, it's always funny when we do two services, you know, what the feedback is on people after Saturday night service that, well, you didn't say this, or you could have said this, and why didn't you talk about this? And so last night someone said, man, you didn't even address the fact that the Rams left. That's what my face looked like too. Sorry, Chris, but I got to say a couple things, you know.
Who's the Rams?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was talking about. And in my mind, it's like, now that football can get out so the real football can come in. You know what I'm saying? Come on, can I get an amen? Yeah. Come on, be honest. You're only fans in 1999. You haven't been fans the last couple of years, or they would have stayed. Anyway. You know, I know there's a lot happening in our earth and in our world, and there's some craziness. And I know you probably heard in the news, and I know you know that there's a lot of people connected with this family in St. Louis, and who's, you know, the pastor who pastors at G-Hop, and his brother who is in Africa and who passed away yesterday in an attack. So I just want to pray for this family. I know it's closer to home. It's in St. Louis. You know, it's a missionary group out of St. Louis. This is really close to home. I know a lot of people in our church, a lot of people that I know knew the family real well. And so I know Channel 5 led with the story last night. And I mean, it's just, this is reality that, you know, terrorists went in and killed 28 people. And now there's a connection to St. Louis. And I think it's real easy to sit where we sit and go, well, that didn't affect me. That was in Africa. Now it's starting to affect us. It's getting closer to home. This is becoming reality. And so let's just pray for this family, if we could. God, I don't know what this family's experiencing. You know, the loss of a dad, the loss of a husband, in such a crazy way. And I know there's a lot of people that instantly go, where was God in all of that? God, I'm so thankful for his life. God, for Jeff's life to display what it is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. God, to just hear the stories of people's lives that were radically changed for Jesus because of his life. So first and foremost, God, I'm thankful for that, that his death was not in vain. His death proclaimed the name of Jesus. God, I pray for Pastor Mike and all the family that's here in St. Louis. God, for their loss, but also that you would strengthen them, that you would comfort them in these next couple weeks as they reflect, God, the hurt, the anger, the bitterness. God, I just pray your peace in the name of Jesus. God, I pray again for his family, for his four kids, for his wife. God, I just pray that you'd be her strength, her comfort. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray in these next couple minutes that you would help us to see the truth, to see what your word is saying to us in this particular place that we're living. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, let's go to Romans 8. I'm going to continue in our series, What If? And again, Romans 8 is this idea of belonging. And I think this hits all of us in some way at some point in our lives. Whether we admit it or not, we are people that want to belong. We want to belong to things. We want to be the people that fit in. And that's why Romans 8 is so powerful. That first verse, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, that word alone in the very beginning, it isn't just that we have this idea of belonging, but it's this idea that I belong to Christ. It's this idea that I'm a child or a son and daughter of God. It's this idea that the penalty for sin was death and the innocent took the place of the guilty. It's that idea. Because all of us in this room, we've had a debt paid for us at some point in our lives. You've been out to eat with a friend and they're like, hey, you know what? Let me grab this one. And you're like, man, I wish you had told me 20 minutes ago. I would have gotten something different. You've been the person that's You've been the person that's paid the debt. You've been the person that said, you know what, let me grab this one, or let me bless you, or let me pay for this. And we know that feeling. We understand that feeling. It feels incredible to be able to do it and to also receive it. And there has to be both ends. And so when we're talking about belonging and the debt being paid, it's the ultimate debt that you and I are sinners. That you and I, the wages of that sin is death. And there had to be a penalty. And there had to be somebody that stepped up to the plate and said, you know what? I'll do this. He paid our debt. And so it's not just this idea that I belong to a church or I belong to a family or I belong to a great club or a great sports team. It's the idea that I belong to Jesus, that he is the foundation of everything I do, because when he's the foundation, I'm a different person. When I know that I belong to Jesus, I act differently. I love differently. I speak differently. When I'm confused on where I am and I create this circle or this bubble of like, well, I got to do so much good to be in with Jesus, which is what we do in relationships. Jesus said, that's not what I do. The price has been paid. It's already been paid. I don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. The price has been paid. I belong. And so Romans 8 is a response of what Jesus has done. It's my response. It's your response. As a child of God, as a son or daughter, as someone who belongs to Jesus, it's my response. And my response is vital. It is vital. If someone gave you a gift, when does it become a gift? When I experience that gift. If it's sitting under the tree and it's just a present, it's just a nicely wrapped gift, unless I wrapped it. It's not nice. I take the approach of, what's the point? We're ripping it up anyway, right? If I don't do anything with it, what's the point? So Romans 8 has to be my response. If Jesus died and I don't do anything with the belonging, then what's the point? It's just a great idea. It's just a great story. It's this idea of belonging and it being the foundation of who I am. Let's look at Luke 6 real quick. Luke 6:46. It's on the screen or in the YouVersion app, whatever you prefer, your Bible. It says it this way. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep, lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. We've seen the images the last couple of weeks of what floodwaters can do, the damage that floodwaters can produce. Again, it's my response to what Christ did that we're talking about. Because we have to talk about the attributes and the character of God, because Jesus' outlook is different. It is different than ours. And I'm made to be in a reflection of those attributes. And one of those attributes is that God is eternal. We have to hear that. And we've all experienced the eternal factor because we've had people die in our lives. We've seen strong people become weak. We've seen the causes of death that make us question and go, man, is this all there is? Is this it? Or is there an eternal factor we have to see? And it also gives us a great perspective on how short and fragile life is. And it also helps us put things into perspective that what we sometimes treat as the main thing isn't really the main thing. What we sometimes allow bother us really shouldn't bother us. And when I reflect, when I evaluate, when I go, man, that really wasn't a big deal. All of that is coming back to the fact of where do I belong? See, this is what this is producing. So when he says that I belong to Christ Jesus, what does that mean? What does it mean that I belong to Jesus? Well, I think it should be proven in how I respond. And if early on in Genesis, God says, let us make man in our image, then that means we are to be reflective of God's identity and who he is. If God is forgiving, then I have to be. If God is compassionate, then I have to be. This is so kindergarten, right? If I have to be someone who loves and extends grace because that's what God is, that my call is to be a reflector of who God is, and that's our calling. We all have an identity. We all have a calling. It's to take people that are in darkness and bring them into the light. It's to be light and going into the darkness. We are always to be reflectors of who God is. Everywhere that we go, not just in this setting, not just over here or over there, everywhere that I go, that is my identity. That is who I am. That is what I'm supposed to be doing, and it brings out a lot of different scenarios and situations. There's no manual for it to go, well, if you do A, B, you'll get C. There's none of that, because you have a different background, you have different family, you got some crazy ones, I got some crazy ones, and they bring out different scenarios just basically because of them, because of your workplace, because of your environment, because of your school, because of your friends. All of those are different, and everywhere that I go, I'm reflecting where I belong. I'm reflecting who it is that I belong to. Or as Romans 8:2 continues to say, if I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, if I'm being led by the Spirit of God, or if I'm being led by the flesh. And we know the difference between those two, because sometimes we don't respond like we're led to the Spirit. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let's be real. It's a process. Yes, it's a process. But here's the reality and the accountability of that process. I should be different this year than I was last year. I should be a different person than I was a week ago. I should be part of that process. So yes, you got to start somewhere. And yes, it is a process. And some people, they're thick-headed, they're stubborn. It takes them longer. We call that development problems, or they got a learning, whatever you want to call it, is some people, and usually they're male. I don't know why that is. I don't know. All the ladies get it. I don't know. It takes some of us longer in the process. But I still should be in my evaluation. And let me say this. If I'm allowing myself to be evaluated or corrected or disciplined, I think I'm showing or displaying where I belong. Because people who don't belong to Jesus don't want to be corrected, don't want to be disciplined. Who are you to judge me? People who do belong to Jesus, Jesus said, I discipline those that I love. Amen. We need to be disciplined. We need to be told we're wrong. And that comes in a lot of different ways. Sometimes from people, sometimes from reading the word, sometimes just praying and hearing God say, you're wrong here. I think all of these things are reflectors of where I belong, who I belong to. My speech always reflects my homeland. We get this in a natural sense. If somebody walked in and they're speaking a different language, we're going, they're not American. Hello. They're from somewhere else. Why? Because they speak differently. Same thing. My speech reflects where I belong. Amen. You can say all day long, well, I'm just trying to fit in and win in Rome. You can say that all you want. You're supposed to be light in the darkness. Light and darkness are to collide, and light wins. Light penetrates the darkness, and the darkness cannot contain that light. That is our call. That is what we're supposed to be doing. Quit making excuses as to why you are what you are, and allow God to discipline you because he loves you. When I'm allowing discipline, I'm displaying who I belong to. What if we did this? What if we did this? Again, when I'm led by the Spirit of God, I'm willing to be evaluated. Continue on, verse 13 of Romans 8, 12 and 13. All right, let's go 14 too. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by the Spirit, its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. What if we live how Jesus wants us to live? And I think all of us in this room go, that's a great idea. Anybody oppose me on that? Who thinks that's a great idea to live like Jesus wants to do? You can raise your hand up. It's like, come on, people, wake up.
Woo! Yes, sir.
What if I lived in such a way that the world and the people around me said, I want what that guy has? What if I lived in such a way that they said, listen, there's no way in the world you should be responding like that. What's your secret? And then, again, this is back to the First John scripture. It's not going to happen in settings that are favorable for us. It's not going to happen in settings where it's favorable for us to love and people go, of course you loved. You were just loved on. It's in settings where that are unfavorable. It's in settings where people don't agree with you. It's in settings where people don't actually like you. It's in settings where people don't actually get what you're talking about. It's in settings where people don't get you at all. And he says, in those moments, do something different. Let's look at this. Let's change gears just a little bit. Romans 12, next couple chapters over. This will be said twice in the passages we'll read today. Paul said this to the Roman church. It reads like this. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. I don't know about any of you guys, but I don't like this verse. Personally, it's not one of my favorites. It's not on my Facebook page. It's one of my favorite quotes. We don't really put it up. But we all know that as Christ followers, we are called to be compassionate. We are called to love. We are called to live a life of love, a life of justice, of reconciliation, all those good things. We are called to do that. And the beauty of the Bible as a redemptive story is this, that I don't have to wait on the attribute of an eternal God to live in the future, that I can live in the eternal nature right now. Like I can live this thing out right now. Like that's the call of God, to live it out right now. That I'm not a person that sits back and goes, I just can't wait to be with Jesus one day. Oh man, I get a new body. Yep, a lot of people. Sorry to say, but it's usually larger people that want the new body. Is that too much? I mean, it's true. Oh Jesus, I can't wait for eternity. We miss out on so much because we're looking forward to eternity and not so much what I'm called to do in the here and now. It's the suicide Christian mindset. That I'm just so constantly focused on how in the future and later on in life it's going to be this and it's going to be that. And it's like, no. I'm missing out on right now. My kids are crazy. I got to take attention to them right now. My coworkers are going to a real hell. I got to have attention on them right now. And I miss out because I'm so thinking about my new body and how it's going to be peace and there's gold and all this great stuff. And it's awesome. It's awesome. But as the church, we've taken this mindset of one day, listen, if you can't worship and work with people now, why do you think heaven's going to be like anything better? I can't stand the guy next to me, but one day in heaven, hopefully we like each other better. I have news for you. You probably won't be there. Nobody will tell you that because you're so focused on eternity that you're this now. So heavenly mindset. You're no earthly good. What about now? What about the crap your friends are going through now? And you're just talking to them about heaven? What do you think that means for them now? It doesn't mean anything for them. They're hurting now. They're going through real life stuff now. Yes, I'm not diminishing heaven and how awesome it's going to be. And yes, it's going to be incredible. And you can write books and do movies on it, and they're great. You're 7, 8, 10, 25 minutes in heaven. It's awesome. Great. But what about now? You have a dying world that wants to know about Jesus now. Right now. That I'm responsible for. And America, we don't do this well. We don't do this well. If you were a Christian 30 years ago, it's different. Today is different. The world needs more love, you guys. The world needs more compassion. The world needs more justice. The world needs to be clothed. The world needs to be fed. The world needs for us to show it what it is to navigate in a world that's gone crazy. And we're living, I believe, in one of those crazy days. And it's our responsibility to lead the charge. We are to be an alternative community. We're to be that. We're not just a church with three names. We believe in all of those names. That we have the life of Jesus, and that we live in a community, and that we are the church. We are the church. And that we have a responsibility, and it's right now. How do I do that? I think that reflects where I belong in what I'm doing or not doing. When I know that I belong to Jesus, I am different. I get it. I want the here and now, and I want to do the things that God has called us to do now. I'm hearing his voice. I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm doing those things. My theology hasn't changed. I've held tightly to it, but my methods have changed. Amen. If you're a Christian for the last 10 years, your methods should have changed. Because some of them ain't working. Some of them don't care. Listen, the methods have to change, but the gospel doesn't. It changes. Let's look at a couple things. The book of Acts, well, I won't read it to you, but the book of Acts, something important happens. Jesus is leaving and he looks at his disciples and he says, here's what I want you to do. 500 of them all at one time. He says, listen, I need you to go wait. Now, I know for a lot of us that's a cuss word. But what Jesus just told them to go wait. 500 of them, go wait. The promise is coming. It's going to be incredible. The Holy Spirit's going to come. I've sent my advocate, the Holy Spirit. He's coming. Just go wait. 500 of them. 120 of them went. So prayer meetings haven't changed a lot in the last couple years. You know what I mean? He told 500. 380 said, I got something else to do. I'm busy on Sunday nights. You know, whatever. 120 of the five. That's not good percentages. Hello. We're trying to model Jesus. That's not good percentages. 500 he told, 120 showed up, and they did a couple things. They waited. And in that waiting, you know what happened? They got to know one another. They looked around the room and they got to know each other. I challenge us as a church. And some of you, this is really hard. I challenge you to show up early and to leave late. I challenge you wherever you're going, whether it's a small group, whether it's a church service, whether it's a Saturday night, whether it's an event, be the guy that shows up 15 minutes early. Not because I'm a pet peeve guy and 15 minutes to me early is late. That's me. I'm not telling you to do. I'm telling you for the sake of getting to know people, for the sake of unity, for the sake of having relationships. Listen, you show up at 10 o'clock and you leave at 11:30. Yes. You heard a good word. Yes, you worshiped, but you didn't do community. You didn't iron sharpen iron. And I know some of you, it's like, you don't understand. I got crazy kids. I can't show up at 10. Can I be real with you for a second? You do it throughout the week. 10 o'clock, no school start at 10 o'clock. I'm just throwing that out there. That's sleeping in for most schools. So we can do it. I'm just asking you to make it a priority. I'm asking you from a sincere heart to go get to know people, because that's what happened. In their waiting, those 120 people, it says they were in one accord. How were they in one accord? The Holy Spirit hadn't come. He hadn't come yet, so we can't go, well, they dumped the Holy Spirit on them. No. They were there and they were asking questions. What's going on with you, man? Like, how's life? Oh, you're different, but I'm still be your friend. Like all that kind of stuff. They got to know each other in their waiting. You and I don't like waiting. Thus, the one accord stuff kind of goes out the window. What if we became a community that was in one accord, different personalities all coming together, being in one accord, and that requires us to wait. That requires us to hang out with people that are different than you. That requires all that. And then what happened? The Holy Spirit fell, incredible things started happening, and then what did they do? They left. They left. They didn't linger there. They didn't say, wow, this is awesome, let's hang out. They said, let's go to the highways and the byways and tell people what has happened in my life. That is the point. You and I sit in this room today because they went to the highways and the byways. Because they didn't sit in a prayer meeting in the upper room and go, wow, this is good. This is awesome. Let's stay here for a while. No. That's what we recreate. No. If something God, if I belong to God, I have no problem telling people who Jesus is. It's when I don't belong that I'm ashamed, that I get ridiculed, all of those things when I don't belong and when I know I don't belong. What if we change that? What if that changed our culture? See, all of us in this room, we want unity, but it's going to take some things to get unity. Amen. It's not going to look the same. And I love the fact that we look different. I love the fact that we have different interests. I think that's the mark of a beautiful community, is that we can be different and then we're not cloning people. Amen. I love that. I love that we can look around and go, man, so glad I'm not that guy. No, I'm just kidding. 1 Peter 3, last scripture. We've talked about 1 Peter a lot. Talked about it in our Christmas series. Jim Harris talked about it a couple weeks ago, end of December. Crazy times happening to who Peter's writing to. We talked about how Nero burned down all the city of Rome. Rome is definitely burning, and people politically were rising against Nero, saying, we can't stand what you're doing. And Nero says, listen, I didn't do it. The Christians did it. And so there's crazy stories of Christians being burned at the stake and people being martyred and people dying and losing their lives because of the sake of the gospel and because people wouldn't say no to the gospel. And so this is the scene. This is the setting that Peter's even writing to these people. And he says this. Finally, all of you, verse 8, should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters, and be tenderhearted, and keep a humble attitude. This is kind of this in-house mindset. It's kind of this, hey guys, listen, we're all in this together. You've lost brothers, you've lost sisters, you've lost family members. We're all in this together. Listen, if he's telling this church, be of one mind, and thinking of the distractions that these people are going through. Thinking of, you talk about people questioning who they belong to. You talk about people questioning whether they were going to follow Jesus or not. Come on, let's be real for a moment. None of us are experiencing what 1 Peter is experiencing. Their family members are being ripped from their houses for following Jesus. And yet they're still following Jesus. And Peter is saying, hey guys, here's what we need to do. Be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted. And keep a humble attitude. I mean, understand what he's saying. People are dying. It's almost like Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And the reason I want us to pause for a second, it's the reason I want us to understand that we are the church and we are called to be different. And so even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of craziness, even in the midst when people are dying, he's saying, listen, here's why I'm still asking you to respond. If you and I wrote the letter, it's like, it might sound different. Hey boys, go get the ammunition. We got a fight on our hands. Everybody get your conceal and carry. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this is the mindset. And Peter's saying, no, guys, be different. The world needs to see something different. They need to see that when they're raising up their guns and they're saying certain words, you need to love them back. I don't know if any of you you've ever been accused of something you didn't do. How does that sound to you? How does that feel to you? How does that feel when someone says, you did this and you know you didn't do it? That's hard. Pastor from Boise, Idaho, who got released in the last couple days in Iran, who's been there since 2012. People praying that he gets released. Finally, after 3.5 years, he's released in a prison. And he tells a story of one of the letters he wrote his wife is that every day they're asking him why he's smiling. Every day they're wanting him to turn and against Jesus. And he says, every single day that someone did that, all I did was hug him. He said, all that did was give me more beatings. Well, the world needs to see something different. Even when you're right. And I don't know how many of you watch, you know, Netflix and stuff like that. But man, I did. I watched Making a Murderer. Anybody see it? Yeah, yeah. Some of you are ashamed to say that you did. I just told you I did. The story of Steve Avery, I don't care where you land at the end of it, but 18 years in jail for a crime he didn't commit. 18 years in jail for a crime he didn't commit. I can't fathom 1 week, much less 18 years. Of one woman saying, that's the guy. We don't have any other evidence, but that's the guy. And all he could say is, I didn't do it. I did not do it. And then we need to wait for DNA to finally tell it, and then all that kind of stuff. He didn't do it. Proven 18 years of his life. And yet there's times we're going through something, and I'm not downplaying the fact that you're going through something. I'm not downplaying that the winds are blowing and the floodgates are rising, but I have to know where I belong, and that's when I find out who I belong to when the winds do blow. It comes back to Luke 6, that where my foundation is, and if my foundation is Jesus, then I'll jump when Jesus says jump. I'll go when Jesus says go, because he is my foundation. And when I know he's eternal, I act and live totally different. I'm different. My foundation is different. I don't find out when it's sunny out. I find out when the winds blow. I find out when people say, you did this. And you go, no, I didn't. If my foundation is that relationship, there will be cracks in my foundation. If my foundation of my life is my marriage, is my wife, and I put everything into that foundation, she could be gone. Now what? But when my foundation is Jesus, she could be gone, and it's still Jesus. This can happen to me, and it's still Jesus. And then I hold hope to the fact that Jesus and his attributes is, he is eternal, and so it is Jesus. I can get through what I'm going through because the attribute is that God has put eternity in our hearts. It is still Jesus. Amen. That's when I find out. I don't find out when it's 65 on a Thursday. I find out when it's snowing and crazy. Welcome to St. Louis. Last verse. Verse 9, continue on. And this is what he says. Again, understand who he's writing to. Understand the evil that is happening to these people. Brothers and sisters have been lost because of believing in Jesus. Don't repay evil for evil. What's he say? Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. Can I ask you something that is very difficult to do? Especially in our culture. And this is hard. This is difficult. I don't know very many people who are living here. Can we stop with the mindset that we need to fight evil with evil? That will not win the war. Only love will win the war. And yeah, you're going to have a generation, you're going to have a culture that says love is weak. You're going to have a generation that says, no, you're not manly if you do that. You need to do this. You're going to have a generation that does rise up and says, no, we will fight. We're going to repay evil with evil. And I just want to be clear, that doesn't make sense. And whether you're talking to your kids or whether you're talking to big boys or whether you're talking to ISIS, that never makes any sense. Ever. And if anybody that we need to read and understand, it's the guy writing to the people who are dying for their faith. And if he's telling them, don't repay evil with evil, then what is he saying to us? Because I don't know that evil has really happened to us. Okay, he threw in the insults. Maybe those have happened to us. But what's he say? Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Here's what a blessing does. It is connected to eternity. A blessing is connected to eternity. When I bless instead of pay back with evil, I'm letting people know where I belong, and I'm letting them know that there's a God who is eternal. It connects to eternity because I am blessing instead of cursing. The world doesn't know what to do with people that love. You confuse people when you love. That's why Jesus said, hey, if he strikes you in the face, give him your other cheek. They don't know what to do with that. Oh, you just hit my face? Well, I got two of those. I don't know what to do with that. If I'm spanking my child, they go, could you give me another, dad? You know what I mean? It's like, what do I do with that? Absolutely, get over here. The world doesn't know what to do with that because we've never given them that. We've tried to fight evil with evil, and God says, no, no, no. You know who you are. You know your foundation. You know who you belong to. Try something different. And you know where it starts? With your coworkers, with your family. When they're insulting you and saying things that might be true, might not be true. He's saying, you want to know who you belong to? Love them back. And they're not going to be lovable, you guys. They're not going to be people you even like. They're going to be people you want to punch. Both cheeks. They're going to be people that you despise. But when I'm led by the Spirit of God instead of my flesh, I'm different. Amen. And that's my evaluation moment. My evaluation moment is when that happens, what do I do? There's your evaluation. You asking, how do I know if I belong to Christ? There's fruit in me belonging to Christ, and it's in my response. Amen. Has to be there. Has to be there. It's difficult. It's hard. I'm not telling you something that's easy. I'm telling you something very hard. Forgiveness is hard. Reconciliation is hard. Your flesh says, I'm going to get you. Sucker. Your flesh says, man. It takes humility. You know what he said? He said it. In a humble attitude. Man, humility, so hard. Let's pray. I said something last night, just while your heads are bowed. I said something last night that it's just true of where I'm living. And, you know, I think our responses are so different based on where we're living. Now, some of us in this room, you're going through it right now. And so your response may be that maybe you're teary-eyed, or maybe you're crying, or maybe you're feeling shame or condemnation or guilt or whatever it is. You're in a different spot. But all of us, the call is to respond or to surrender to the will of God. That's all of our calls. Man, that is so difficult because surrendering is the ultimate act of humility. Surrender is the ultimate act of I give up. In some ways that I surrender is I lift my hand. Some ways I kneel. Some ways I lay prostrate. All of those are acts of surrendering. I really felt like there's a lot of people in our church last night, today, that you're going through some crazy stuff. The winds are blowing. The flood waters are rising up. You're in a difficult place. You're in a place where You're finding out right now where your foundation is. You're finding out where the cracks are. You're finding that out right now. And you're going through it. Circumstances, situations, it's happening. And again, I want you to hear the words and the promises of Jesus. So I've not left you. I've not forsaken you. You're still breathing. I still have a plan, but God still wants us to hear. He is an eternal God. He is a God that loves us in the here and now. He's with you. Amen. I can't tell you how that situation is going to turn out. It could destroy your whole house, but guess what's still intact? The foundation. Amen. Take away my house, but my foundation is still there. I can't tell you how it's going to turn out. I can only give you the promises of Jesus, which are, He's never left you, He's never forsaken you, He's not given up on you. So if you're in this room today and a circumstance has allowed you to doubt or question, or you're just overwhelmed by it, I'm going to ask you to do something bold today. And again, this is not for anybody else. This is for you to acknowledge, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm living. This is what's going on in my life. I just want you where you are to just stand to your feet. Just in that promise, just stand up where you're at. Say, I'm going through it right now. Again, we don't need to guess on what's happening. You're just in this room going, I'm going through it. There's a circumstance, there's a situation, the winds are blowing, that's me. From young to old, that's me, that's where I'm at. Would you, with me right now, just stand. Just stand where you are. Yeah, some of you, it's gonna take some boldness. This might be unconventional. I know this might not be, quote unquote, how we do it. I don't care. You're going through it. We need to recognize that. Come on. Last chance. Anybody else? You're going through it. Stand up. If you're still sitting, let's just pray for those that are standing. It's not for us to figure it out. It's for us to pray. This is the one mind, the one accord in the name of Jesus right now. God, every person that's standing in this room, God, I pray first and foremost the peace that passes understanding. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, your strength over them in Jesus' name. God, for those that have to make decisions and there's chaos and there's confusion, I pray clarity of mind in Jesus' name. I pray that you would make it clear, that there would be understanding, that you'd give them wisdom. I pray that in Jesus' name. Those that it's health, I pray in Jesus' name, strength over their bodies. Strength over their bodies in Jesus' name. I pray those that it's just circumstances that are out of their control, and they're struggling with maybe a void, someone not being around, whatever that circumstance, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that this promise would ring true. You are for us. You are for us. You are for us. You are not against us. You are for us. That is your promise, God. The name of Jesus. Of you stand with me this morning.